Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Just in isolation?
Oh, yes! How are you guys going?
Well, it's only been like one day. I'm meaning to get a PCR this morning because I'm just really hoping it's wrong.
Yeah. Because they're so sensitive, those other ones.
That's what I mean. Like, who knows? Because he had two negative and one positive.
Oh, really? Oh, so wait a second. So he got two negative.
Yeah, so he's had symptoms. Like, I think it's likely he's got it. But, like, he's had symptoms since Monday and he's tested himself every day since Monday and he's had negative tests and then his last one was positive.
Oh, okay. I think they say, though, with those rat tests that it takes a few days or something for, like, I don't even know what it's called, to multiply before you can test positive. So maybe that's why.
But then, maybe there's a chance that he's passed that kind of window and his PCR will still come back negative.
Yeah, I wonder. How are you feeling? Are you okay?
I just want to go and do stuff.
Yeah, fudge.
I really want to get my nails done tomorrow. Like, I want to go look at some new glasses. Like, I had all these plans.
You had plans. Yeah, exactly. You know what, Lockie? At least it's only a week. Like, far out.
I know. But then, worst case scenario will be that when I have to do a day six test, I'll test positive and then I'll have to do another 7 days or something like that.
Yeah, but
it's just stupid. Like, it is. Isolation is just stupid.
I actually calculated, I think I spent at least 6 weeks last year in isolation. Like, that is freaking, that's like over a month.
Yeah.
Trapped in your house. But obviously now it's only a week. Can I just tell you, hopefully freaking Australia can just follow suit with the UK, because I read today that, you know, UK are dropping literally everything. So even if you have COVID, you don't even need to isolate. Yeah. That's how hard, they're just like, we're done with it.
Yeah, it is what it is, yeah.
So, yeah, well, I hope it's negative.
Me too.
And you can get your nails done.
Yeah, I know. What else? Anything else?
Hey, I read the weirdest article just now and it's about, like, it happened in Melbourne and I just found it so weird. So I wanted to tell you about it, right?
Mm.
Apparently there was, like, I don't know, some, like, people or some girl that was renting, like, a shared house, and I'm pretty sure it's in, like, Fitzroy.
Mm.
Did you see this thing? No. I don't even know. Oh, my gosh. It's really random, right? Anyway. And when they moved in, like, I think it was like the rental people or someone had said to them that, like, oh, the previous owners have left, like, some random stuff in the attic.
Oh, no.
So they went to have a look and it's like disturbing memorabilia of, like one person. I'm actually dying. One, it looks like it's some sort of, like, Richmond footy player, or it's someone playing footy. Like, the photos are a footy player. It looks like it's got his shoes there, like a scarf. Apparently, like, some of the items that are, like, it's like literally like a wall of, like, his stuff, but it includes, like, chewing gum.
What?
Like, used Band-Aids, cigarettes.
Ew.
Freaking weird stuff. It literally looks like he had a stalker that lived there and had, like, dedicated their attic to him. How weird's that?
It obviously isn't ashamed to leave it all there.
Yeah, like, why would you spend so much time collecting all of that to then leave it?
I don't freaking know. It's really weird. It is really weird. And I think that, like, and this is the thing, like, I think that the landlord, this isn't even the landlord's stuff. It must have been the people before it was purchased. Do you know what I mean?
That's so crazy.
I was reading that, like, the property was bought in, like, 2016, and when they bought it, these people, they were told, like, that there's, like, some weird stuff in the attic. But, and then they must have just started renting it out. Like, I don't even know what the heck's going on, but it is creepy. You'll have to check it out. And Jesus, I might even post some of the photos. It's giving me the creeps. But I wonder who this guy is.
I know. What the hell?
But yeah.
Interesting. Who was the footy player?
Yeah, they don't know.
Oh.
But it looks like old. Like it looks like it could be like from like the '80s. Like it doesn't look like something new, you know what I mean? And you know, one of the photos, it honestly looks like, you know, those coin bags?
Yeah.
It's got like freaking like weird like red liquid or something like hanging on the wall in a coin bag. Like it's weird.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so obviously someone is completely stalking this person because I don't know why else you'd have all this weird crap hanging on a wall in an attic.
That's so freaking weird.
But yeah.
It happens though, I guess.
It does.
Remember that person that used to stalk Scotty?
Oh my gosh, yes. That was weird. We call like all the time. I actually used to wrote down his number after like the first or second
time
he called because I was just like, this is weird. Like, yeah. But weird, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it with me?
Yeah, nothing else with me either.
Should we get stuck into this week's case?
Yeah, let's do it.
There's a new push to solve a mystery that has haunted New Mexico for over 20 years. What happened to Tara Calico? Kim Bias reports a California woman is now making a documentary about the case, and there's a Facebook page that is getting thousands of hits.
It was September 20th, 1988, when 19-year-old Tara Calico ventured out on a bike ride and never returned. Nearly 22 years later, her story still haunts the people of Valencia County. Now, one former resident has made it her mission to find out what happened.
We were classmates and we were in band together. And, you know, what happened to her could have happened to any one of us.
Melinda Esquivel, who now lives in Los Angeles, has set up a Facebook page, a website, and is putting together a documentary about the case.
I think that, you know, the people who are involved and the people who are involved with the cover-up, you know, they need to be held accountable for what they did.
The website has already had traffic from 39 countries, and the Facebook page has 700 fans. Investigators working the case welcome the publicity. They believe the people who know what happened to Tara are still around.
This case has gone long enough. I think it's time to try to bring it to a closure.
Sheriff Rene Rivetta has been on this case for many years. It has become his personal mission to solve it. He believes at this point any exposure could help. And Facebook reaches places they've never been able to reach before.
I believe it can become a powerful tool. On Facebook, people are talking to each other and going back to Facebook and looking at what information people are giving. I'm hoping that we can get someone that can come out and give us the information that we need.
That's also the hope of Melinda Esquivel.
It's been 22 years, and I think that they need to get it off their chest.
Kim Baez, KRQE News 13.
If you have any information in the case, call the Valencia County Sheriff's Department at 866-2400.
So today we're talking about the case of Tara Calico. She was 19 years old when she went missing, and she was living in Baleen, New Mexico. I don't know how to say it. And she was like a sophomore, which I don't even know what that means, but at the University of New Mexico. I don't get that whole freshman, sophomore, whatever
thing. I don't either. I think though that, oh gosh, I don't even know where. It's because I watch so much American stuff. I feel like, is the sophomore
the second year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that. But, yeah, she was 19, so she'd finished high school and she was at the University of New Mexico. Her parents were Patty Doll and David Calico. They were not together at the time of her disappearance. Patty had remarried to a guy called John Doll, which was Tara's stepfather, and they had a daughter, Michelle Doll, which was Tara's stepsister. And Michelle Doll is quite like into finding Tara to this day.
I was actually going to ask you, is that her stepsister or a half sister? I couldn't actually. Oh, well, half sister. She calls her mum. Yeah. All right. Cool. I was curious.
Probably technically half sister. I'd say, like, because they've obviously got the same mum. But Tara's story is back in the late 80s. On the morning of September the 20th, 1988, she set off to go on a bike ride around 9:30 a.m. I think she was a regular biker and she used to go out with her mum usually as well. But this morning she decided to go alone. She rode a neon pink Huffy bike. I read that this was her mum's bike. Her mum was also worried about her heading out alone because she had reported issues of being harassed while she was out. And I think her mum obviously used to ride with her a lot as well. So used to kind of get a gauge of like the environment that they used to ride in. They used to have like a usual kind of path that they took.
Yeah, I actually read that her mum wanted, like, stopped because of that reason, and she wanted her to take, like, pepper spray. And she's like, yeah. Oh, mum, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So she set out at about 9:30. The plan was for her to ride her usual route, and this was along Highway 47, and it was about 34 miles, which is, like, a bit more than 50 Ks in the metric system, which is huge. Like, that's a huge bike ride.
Yeah, that's massive. I think that's like 2 hours. Like she used to do a 2 hour bike ride. That's crazy.
And she used to have like, she used to take her Walkman, have her headphones in. Like it was like a, you know, that's what she used to do.
So 80s or 90s Walkman.
So that day, Tara actually had plans with her boyfriend to play tennis at 12:30. So her mum kind of said like, obviously you'll need to be home before midday. And when she didn't return home at 12 o'clock, her mum and her stepdad, John, just kind of drove around and went to try and find her, but they couldn't find her at all. So immediately they tried to report her as missing. Obviously her mum was a bit on edge with how she felt about the whole situation. But because she was like 19 and she'd only been gone for a few hours, they couldn't make a formal missing persons request. You know, back then it would have been like, what, 48 hours or something.
Hey, but I think the police still got involved. Like they still helped the family like search on the day till like I think a storm came or something. So,
but she wasn't a formal missing person at that point. Yeah. So the following day, September the 21st, a full-scale search begun and – there was heaps of volunteers, apparently, like a lot of the community came out to help. And Patty, her mum, found parts of her Sony Walkman. I think not the full Walkman has been recovered. Like she just found like, I don't know whether it was the headphones or the other part.
I think there's a screen part I read. You know that clear part?
Yeah. So she found that. That was located about 90 metres off Highway 47. And then they also, in this kind of same area, they also found footprints on the ground leading to the Walkman, like where it was found on the ground. Mm. And these footprints indicated a bit of a scuffle of some kind, like kind of right where they found the Walkman, which obviously is Dodge.
100%.
They also found nearby bike tracks, which they assumed were from Tara's bike. And then they also found like vehicle tire tracks and like an oil slick from a car in this nearby area. So it like initially, like it doesn't look great.
No. And there's clues there.
Yeah. Clues there. So obviously the police put out a bit of a like wanting information to the community and they did receive like multiple sightings of her that morning. I think it was like 11 sightings, like 11 people had seen her riding her bike. And these sightings were right up until 11:30 a.m. The major sighting that they've used to try and, I guess, find Tara was that she was spotted riding her bike along this highway and a light grey or dirty white, I'm not sure of the colour, 1954 Ford pickup truck was following the bike. And because she had her headphones in, it didn't look like that she had even noticed that she was being followed.
Mm.
And this car was like legit following her, and the person that reported this said that the driver was like intently watching her.
Yeah, I feel like I read somewhere as well that originally most people that saw this creepo following her thought it was her dad.
Oh really? Because that's how closely he was watching her.
Yes, and they thought that he was like her I was gonna say shepherd, it's not, what's that thing called?
don't know.
Chaperone.
Yeah.
Like, because she was literally in the middle of nowhere. So most people are like, obviously she knows this person. And apparently, like, because the truck was, like, full of stuff, other people are like, maybe they're, like, traveling together and she just wants to get her exercise in for the day. Yeah. How interesting is that?
And I also feel like the person that reported this mentioned two people.
Yeah.
Something like someone was in another car or someone got out of the car or something like that.
Like the rolling. Is that, I don't know if you, did you listen to the podcast regarding.
Yeah.
That different. Yes. Yeah. And one of the witness statements is like, it looked like there was like a rolly man, like rolling on the side of the road. They couldn't actually see what it was. Like originally, like it's a, like a dog or some sort of animal, but then it got in the car and they're like, I'm pretty sure there was like a person sort of ducked over running next to the car.
Yeah. So that's weird.
Just weird.
Very weird. But after kind of that came out, like they didn't really have much information to go off, but, in June of the following year, so what's that, like 9 months later, the case took a really bizarre turn. So a woman was with her husband and they were going into a grocery store in Florida in a town called Port St. Joe. And they pulled up to the supermarket and they parked next to a white van. So they've gone in, done their shopping, and then as they've walked out of the store, the woman noticed that the white van that was parked next to them was gone. And in its place, in the parking spot, was a Polaroid picture lying face down on the ground. So she picked it up and turned it over. And this picture revealed a teenage girl and a younger boy, both bound, like they had tape over their mouth and their hands were behind their backs, assuming to be bound, and their feet. And it looked like it was taken like in the back of a car or the back of that van.
Yeah.
So the woman takes this to the police straight away. And this is like when the case blows up because the resemblance to Tara is like pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But they didn't really know who the boy was. So after it obviously blew up in the media, the boy thought it could possibly be a missing boy called Michael Henley. He was also missing from New Mexico. So I think they kind of put that together thinking, oh, these two kids have been taken from New Mexico. He was 9 when he disappeared. He was like camping with his family or something. And his parents also determined that they thought that it was him in the photo. But since then, they've determined that it's not him because his remains were found near the campsite he went missing from. So the boy is still unknown. Obviously, Tara's parents saw this photo and they were pretty sure that it was Tara because there was a scar on the girl's leg that was similar to a scar that Tara had. And I think, you know, up until her parents have passed away now, but up until they passed away, they were still legitimately thought that that photo was her.
Yeah. And well, I think the scar though is very like, it's not the fact that they said she had that exact scar and she'd gotten it in a car accident. I feel like it's hard for you to like sort of, you know what I mean? Like disagree with them because of that, because there is, when you look at the photo, it does. I think it looks like her.
Mm.
What do you think?
See, I go back and forth. I feel like some days I think it is and some days I think it's not. Looking at it right this second while I'm talking about it, I'm going to go with a no.
Really?
Yeah. And obviously you'll post the photo and it's available online everywhere.
Yep.
But in the photo, like the two look like well-fed. They don't look emancipated at all. They're tan. The boy looks scared. The girl looks angry.
Yeah.
There's also a book in the photo. I think it's called like My Sweet Audrina or something.
Apparently
her favorite author or something.
And one of her favorite books. Like I find that crazy. Like that book looks placed there.
It definitely looks placed there. And it's interesting that their hands and feet are not in the frame of the photo. Like are they actually bound or not? We don't know.
And even like the tape around their mouths. Like, can you see that tape near the little boy's mouth that's been ripped off? And it's like apparently someone had said it's got like vomit or something on it.
Yeah, yeah. But then I also read that putting duct tape on your mouth isn't like it doesn't stick. Like it does come away. So they thought that maybe it was just a staged thing for this photo.
It's actually horrifying. Just looking at it, I feel like it's like they're trying to sell them. Like that's what I think it looks like to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like I've got these two. Like how much can I get for them?
Yeah. Yeah, but looking at it now, I don't really think it's Tara.
But, you know, look at the cow leak. Like, you know that her hair has in the other photos?
Yeah, but her eyebrows, I think that's what does it for me.
Yeah, but you know what? I knew you were going to bring this up. I freaking knew it. I agree with you to a point, right? But honestly, if you look at my eyebrows from like even last year, you'll probably start laughing. But if you see, there's a photo that we went out for brunch like with the girls and my eyebrow is a complete different shape because I had used this new eyebrow stuff. And it's sticking up like a wild woman. Like I didn't notice till obviously I got home how weird my eyebrow looked. But if you look at like, let's say the photos we took the other day to the photo from whenever it was like last year, it's a completely different eyebrow shape. And her mum says that she specifically wanted, like, think about the phases eyebrows go through. Like, you know, in the 2000s, like Christina Aguilera, really thin eyebrows, now big and bushy, like 80s was bushy. Like everyone wanted like bigger eyebrows in the 80s. You know what I mean? Like I feel like the eyebrow you can very easily pencil it in. She used to hairspray it and then like comb it up.
Yeah, but I just feel like you can't. Yeah, you can change eyebrows, but the way the skin arches is not the same.
But it's the brow that's arching, not the skin.
Yeah, but so you know how you have that lump of skin?
But if you think about it, if you had a bushy eyebrow, you could shape whatever you wanted and colour it in.
See, I don't agree with you.
No, that's all right. I like that.
So I still, yeah, my thoughts is eyebrows, give it away.
He's killing it, yeah.
And.
But look at her eye shape. See, that's something you can't change. You can't change an eye shape. If you look at her eye shape, the eye shape is very similar, Lockie.
As well as the nose. Eyelid. Like the eyelids look similar. Yeah. Like in her like normal photos. Like she does have like eyelids that sit like right on your like lashes and that's the same as that photo.
Yeah. I think her nose is quite similar as well. And sorry, just while we're on this, a lot of people talk about the jawline. Yeah. That it's different. But see, I would completely disagree because if I lied down on her angle, I'd have a double chin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think the chins look similar. I think the ears look different. Nose, I could see how people would say it's similar, but I could also see how people would say it's different.
Because,
like, the end is, like, a bit more sharp, like, pointier than her normal nose.
You know what gets me as well? Like her sister in that podcast we listened to, which honestly I can't remember the name of it. Do you remember?
I think it was Vanished.
Vanished. Vanished. Yeah. So her sister thinks it's her as well. And one of the reasons she says this is because she's like, this sounds so weird. She's like, but it's not just even the face. She's like, I can tell by her body, like her elbows and knees. Mm. And you know, like we were saying this last time, you know when you know someone, you just can see, you look at them differently to like, you know, like a stranger, for instance. Like,
yeah. And like I said, her parents really thought it was her. Like they received so many photos over the years, so many tips and whatever, and this was the one thing that they stuck to the whole time saying that they really believed it was her.
Yeah.
And people used to say, like, she was a bit of a fighter, like, she did have a bit of an attitude. And this photo, you can see that, like, she's angry. Like, she's angry at the person taking the photo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously you'll put a poll up and we'll see what happens. Yes, but
curious.
I think it's likely, but, yeah, I'm not 100% sold.
I wonder if, though, I feel like that certain evidence can also sway you with whether you think it is her photo or not, if that makes sense. Like once we get into the case a little bit more, I feel like that can sway you on whether it is or isn't as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because there was obviously a lot of analysis done on this photo by multiple agencies around the world as well. So I think Scotland Yard analysed the photo and determined it was her. And then an American, like, laboratory called the Los Alamos National Laboratory analysed the photo. I think they did this for free. They determined it was not Tara in the photo, and similar to the things we just talked about, but they came to this conclusion based on her face structure, her eyebrow structure. But even though they come out and said that, Tara's parents still believed it was her.
Yeah. I think the FBI, is it the FBI as well? There was another agency that did one, and theirs was inconclusive. So you've literally got all different people, like, assessing this photo, and every single, like, department or whatever it is, people have gotten different outcomes.
So I think Tara's family sent this photo to this Los Alamos National Lab requesting them to analyze it kind of pro bono, and they did that, and then the FBI swooped in and took the results. So I don't know if that was the same thing or not. But over the years of her being missing, like I said, lots of photos came to the surface. There was, like, one on a train that they thought was her, and there was, like, another one. All of these were, like, pictures of people bound and gagged, by the way. But after everything that came out, the only photo that her family believed was her is this Polaroid that was found in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that it was found in a town called Port St. Joe, and this town obviously is a port, but I think, like, the National Missing Child Endangerment Agency or whatever they're called over there have said that this port is very popular for human trafficking to get people out of the country.
So interesting.
So the theory with that is that if it was Tara and another boy, they were being transported from wherever to Port St. Joe to be sent to America to be trafficked, pretty much, which would explain why they were, like, well-fed, well-dressed, because they obviously want them alive.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. So over the years as well, like, lots of theories, lots of, like, jailhouse confessions, like, all that stuff, it's all come to the surface. But there is one confession a guy has made that is, like, very detailed. I'm sure you've heard about this. So this guy, his name was Henry Brown, and he made this confession on his deathbed in 2013. Mm-hmm. So obviously a long, long time after she'd gone missing. He said that shortly after her disappearance in September 1988, he was at a guy's house. This guy's name was Lawrence Romero Jr. They were in his basement, like, hanging out or whatever, and he noticed what appeared to be a young woman's body wrapped in a tarp and buried in, like, a makeshift grave.
Why would you have that out?
I know.
What the heck?
I don't really understand the whole... they're in the basement and it's buried in a grave.
Yeah, neither.
I don't really
get that. Does it have flooring?
Yeah. Is it dirt? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Dirt, yeah.
So the story that they told this Henry Brown was that this guy, Lawrence Romero, he was with another guy with red hair, which they didn't know his name, and another guy called Dave Silva. They all kind of were there and said that that body is Tara Calico. And they explained the story to him. They said that the day she disappeared, they had another guy with him. His name was Leroy Chavez. They were all together. They were in a truck and they noticed her riding her bike. While trying to get her attention, they accidentally struck her with the truck and then they abducted her. They took her to a grave pit. I do not know what that means. And raped her, all of them. And then during the ordeal, Tara was apparently fighting back and was threatening to go to the police. So Lawrence Romero Jr. stabbed her to death while the other men held her down. Originally, they hid her body in a nearby bush, like off this highway. And then as all the searches commenced and it kind of blew up in the media, they moved her back to his basement. This Henry Brown guy also told police on his deathbed that he was threatened that he would be killed if he told anyone this story, which to me seems legitimate because he literally has waited, you know,
that long, what, to 30 say it. Years
on his deathbed to say it. But another really interesting detail is this Lawrence Romero Jr. was the sheriff's son.
Boom. That is like...
Mic drop.
Yeah.
So the theory is with this story is that this sheriff, what was his name? Rivera.
It was the same thing. Wasn't it the same thing? Because this same is the name, junior. Not
junior. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this sheriff apparently found out about this and he found like a note that his son had written confessing to this crime, and he destroyed it, and he destroyed all the evidence, pretty much protecting him. And the parents of the other boys, the other kids or men or whatever involved, also helped cover up evidence. Like it was like a big thing, big cover up. Yep. The lady that does that Vanished podcast mentions that she has gotten police records, etc., over the years, and there are files that are completely empty.
Yeah, like missing.
Yeah, yeah. So that could go along with that.
Hey, and do you know something else which I thought was freaking incredible? You know that Tara's parents got deputized?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, deputized. So
they could have access to her whole file, and I think that they had some of, like, files in their possession that the actual, like, sheriff's department didn't. How freaking crazy is that? Because obviously it'd been, like lost or thrown away, and they literally kept notes on everything and had like copies of everything. And that's how, like, this podcast, that Vanished podcast, they've been able to put heaps of things together, because her parents are just sound incredible.
Yeah, they just, yeah, and they will
never stop searching
all these photos, all these horrible photos,
yeah,
like sorting through everything trying to find it.
Yeah.
So this sheriff also was found out to be pretty dodge. Like, he had claims of sexual assault against him. There's also reports he was, like, a bit of a pedophile as
really?
Well.
Really? Yeah. I see that. Wow. I'm not even.
Yeah, I actually read he had a preference, like 12 to 13-year-olds.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, and this apparently, I don't know if this is right, but was he a drunk or something, and he owned, like, a bar, and then when he retired, he turned the bar into his house and started living there?
Yes, something like that.
One weird story like that, yeah.
But he was just, like, real dodgy.
Yeah.
And another man came forward and told the police a similar story. And I think this sheriff come out, like, I don't know, a long, long time after she disappeared, and had said that they had a rough idea of what happened to Tara, and the story went that there was people that were like a group of men that were following her that abducted and killed her. He wouldn't say anything else. He wouldn't give away any more details. He didn't name the people. But
I think that was the new sheriff said this.
The new sheriff, yeah.
Yeah, so the new sheriff put it on, like, said it to some magazine without even telling Tara's family. They literally read this.
So,
and I'm like, what?
It makes you think, like, has it been covered up from sheriff to sheriff to sheriff? You know, like,
I feel like, though, that because this new sheriff's talking about it, he says that he knows who it is, but they're just looking for more evidence to be able to build a strong enough case against these people. That was my understanding. So I don't know if this guy, I don't think this guy's dodgy. I think it's just previous
sheriffs.
Yeah, were dodgy, yeah.
And that would make sense if he's destroyed all the evidence, that they don't have enough evidence to charge. And I think this sheriff came and said that these men went to school there or something.
And it was we're obviously talking about the other sheriff's son, that Lawrence guy.
Mm.
And he had apparently went to school with her and had a massive crush on her, and asked her out a few times.
Mm.
She said no. So
that's motive. It's
those that, and not only that, like, all the pieces sort of are coming together.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? You know that podcast? It literally was made in, like, it was like 2017 or 18, right?
Yeah.
And then it just, they got like a PI involved and like, do you know what I mean? Actual, like the good sheriff was involved and they were investigating all these leads and everything. And they'd found out all this information. And she's like, I'll be back to tell you the information, but we can't discuss it now. And they just never went back to it. And she was making a documentary and hasn't come out either.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
So I wonder if they're still, they must be still working on it.
Yeah.
You know something else, though? Just going back to that photo, I don't know if you listened to the episode in the Vanish on, it was right towards like one of the last episodes. She actually says we've received interesting information regarding that photo, which makes me think, what the heck? Like, are they, is it connected?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Like, do you know what I mean? Because who knows? It's just, I'm dying to get more info.
I think it's like one or the other, like you can't have say both. It's the photo and then say it was the guys.
Yeah.
So it's like one of two scenarios. I think she either, you know, she was, you know, raped and killed by that group of guys, or she has been abducted and trafficked and, you know,
put through the,
could possibly still be alive. I don't know.
Far out.
But that Lawrence Romero, he actually committed suicide in 1991. So only 3 years after she disappeared, so.
And he was a bit of, like, he was on drugs and stuff, wasn't he? Like, bad, yeah. Like, obviously bad crap. And that's what you were saying before, that his dad, when he committed suicide, his dad found a note, and they say that the dad got rid of the note.
Yeah.
So it had, like, a confession in there.
Yeah.
That's the story anyway.
But, I mean, like, if this is the story, like, would they have not have searched that basement and found her body? Because to this day her body has not been found, and neither have any of her belongings. Like, there was still that bit of the Walkman that was missing, her jewelry,
her bike.
The bike hasn't been found.
But I'm pretty sure I read a statement, and again, I think it was the new sheriff said, I know where her bike is. It's under a tarp at the bottom, at the back of this property. So, but there's been no, like, do you know what I mean? That's it. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, he's just saying it. There's no.
You know, as well, there's, like, controversy regarding whether that Romero Jr. actually committed suicide or he was killed. So, yeah.
That's, like, a major conspiracy. But, yeah, like, yeah, to this day her body's not been found. I'm pretty sure her parents declared her as deceased, likely homicide, but they can't say for sure because they don't know.
And her mum never, ever stopped looking for her. Like, literally, I think that she had suffered multiple strokes and still, like, she'd just be able to get, like, if she saw someone on the bike, she'd say, Tara. And her husband would be like, oh, it's not her, you know? And they moved to Florida after all this, and they kept a room for her and used to put presents and stuff in there for her. It breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's really sad. But, you know, she'd be, God, in her 40s, almost 50s now, if she's still alive. I think if it's her in the Polaroid, I wouldn't be surprised if she's still alive.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally got, you can take two turns this case.
Yep. What's your, like, what would you lean towards?
Honestly, I do think that the boys in the town just makes more sense, especially because there hasn't been one confession. There's been multiple confessions. And it just, the whole thing just sounds dodgy. Like, why is there evidence or statements missing if, Jordan, like, if there doesn't need to be, if it wasn't a cover-up?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, something we didn't even talk about is, you know that some of the witnesses were put under
hypnosis.
Yes. And everything they said in those hypnosis sessions is missing, like the documentation from them.
Yeah, that was really confusing. It's like they didn't use lie detectors. Everyone was put under hypnosis.
That creeps me out. Like, can I tell you, how the heck does your brain even remember? Like, imagine the info you've got in your brain.
I know.
And they were giving, like, they were giving statements about what they could remember and stuff.
Yeah, that's weird.
So I thought that was really interesting. Hypnosis I find interesting in general. So I thought that it was pretty cool that they did use it in this case, and they used it on a lot, like, heaps of the witnesses.
Yeah, very weird.
The sucky thing about this, though, is that a lot of people, witnesses, suspects, a lot of people just involved in this case have passed on.
Yeah. So that's going to obviously make it hard to find any information.
Yeah, exactly.
But as I mentioned, Tara's half-sister is still a big advocate. And then obviously her friend that is doing the podcast documentary is onto it as well. So hopefully between the two of them.
Yeah, they can get some answers, honestly.
Mm.
But yeah. And it seems like they're getting somewhere. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, that's the case of Tara Calico.
Wow, what a case.
Mm. Mm. So if you have a case you want us to cover, send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.